This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Analysts are skeptical of Elon Musk's plan to take Tesla private.
This doesn't change my perception or outlook.
This is a ripoff. I'm not selling for $420.
Do I think that this is going to come to fruition? I doubt it.
On trade, the U.S. moves ahead with a second round of tariffs on China.
And the pound slumps amid Brexit concerns.
It's a special Ohio congressional race seen as a gauge heading into the midterms. Plus, more cross-examination today in Paul Manafort's fraud trial. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Yankees get a key win on the road and increase their wild card lead.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Global stocks mix this morning as global trade concerns weigh on sentiment. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures little change, so are Dow futures. NASDAQ futures down 3.5. The DAX in Germany's down about 0.1%, so is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down about 0.1%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.96%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 13 cents to $69.30 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.30 to $12.1960 an ounce. The euro, $1.1596, and the yen, 110.93. And this data check brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. Bob.
We begin with a story that shocked investors, Tesla CEO Elon Musk declaring that he could take the company private. Word from Musk came yesterday afternoon in the form of a tweet and a blog post that left many questions unanswered. Dana Hull reports from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The fact that he wants to take Tesla private is not a surprise. He's talked about this in previous interviews with us. There's been no SEC filing. We're not sure when there is a board vote. Presumably the board is on board with this, but we haven't heard from any of them. We really don't have anything beyond Elon's tweets and the blog post.
Musk suggested a price of $420 a share to take Tesla private. That would value the company at $82 billion and would amount to the largest leverage buyout in history.
Wall Street is skeptical of Musk's plans. Dennis Gartman is editor and publisher of the Gartman Letter.
This is not going to happen. I think this is just a game to put the fear of God into the shorts once again, which clearly he did. But do I think that this is going to come to fruition? I doubt it.
Shares of Tesla surged 11% yesterday, but closed around $380, far below the $420 level cited by Musk.
David Kudlow, CEO at Mainstay Capital Management, is shorting Tesla and says he will stay with that position.
This doesn't change my perception or outlook, and it hasn't changed my outlook on my short position. In fact, we were in shorting more shares today on the strength in the stock.
Just a week ago, Tesla reported another quarterly loss where it burned through hundreds of millions of dollars.
Still, there are those who think $420 a share is too low for Tesla. Ross Gerber is president and CEO at Gerber Kawasaki and a Tesla shareholder.
I value the company at $571. This is a ripoff. I'm not selling for $420. You know how many companies I can find like Tesla out there? There's none.
The biggest question around Elon Musk's plan is funding. Neither his tweets nor his blog post yesterday made mention of how Tesla would pay to go private.
Now, let's turn to news on the global stage, where we have another escalation in the trade war between the U.S. and China. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
And good morning to you, Bob. The Trump administration says it will begin imposing 25% levies on an additional $16 billion of Chinese imports in 2 weeks. It'll be the second time the U.S. slaps tariffs on Chinese goods. Hannah Anderson, global strategist at JPMorgan Asset Management, believes it will only get more heated.
tariffs are a potent political issue in the U.S., and being able to position oneself as strong on China actually may give some politicians in the midterm elections a bit of an advantage.
The U.S. is reviewing 10% levies on a further $200 billion in Chinese imports and is even considering raising the rate to 25%. Meanwhile, China exports grew faster than expected in July and imports surged, signaling the trade war has yet to take a toll. China's trade surplus with the U.S. remains near a record high. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. The British pound has weakened to the lowest level against the euro in almost 9 months. The move comes amid growing concern that the UK could leave the EU with no deal in place. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the details. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Yes, euro sterling sat now at spot 89.86, down 0.25% today. We're also seeing a slump in sterling dollar. That's close to a one-year low at 129.06. Now, this appears to be driven by anxiety over a lack of progress with talks rather than any particular political triggers. The evidence building now that investors are starting to price in a messy Brexit. It's also spurring activity in the options market. The spread between risk reversals expiring in 30 days and those expiring in 9 months, which captures the departure date from the EU, is at the widest since January. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. We have breaking M&A news right now. Sources tell Bloomberg that Starwood Property Trust plans to buy a General Electric energy finance business for $2.5 billion. The deal consists of $2.1 billion of loans backed by assets consisting of power plants, pipelines, and wind farms.
On the earnings front, shares of Glencore are down 1%. In London, the world's biggest commodity trader posted record profit while cutting debt, but left investors guessing about what it will do with the extra cash. Glencore failed to increase its dividend or expand its buyback program.
Shares of Novo Nordisk are down about 5% in Denmark. The world's biggest maker of diabetes drugs says changes in the U.S. Medicare program will push down prices in the U.S.
Shares of Snap are up 1.5% in early trading after second quarter revenue topped projections. At the same time, Saudi billionaire Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal said he took a 2.3% stake in Snap with an investment of $250 million.
And shares of Match Group are up 10% in early trading. The parent company of popular online dating platforms posted quarterly earnings and an outlook that beat estimates. S&P futures virtually unchanged at this hour. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get a check of news around the world and at home now from Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. In Ohio's special congressional election, Republican Troy Balderson has a narrow lead over Democrat Danny O'Connor. Balderson leads O'Connor 50.2% to 49.3%. The state's 12th congressional district has been a ruby red for more than 30 years. No matter who wins this election, they will both have to run against each other in November. Balderson, who has President Trump's backing, spoke to his supporters last night.
Over the next 3 months, I'm going to do everything I can to keep America great again. So that when we come back here in November, get ready. We got to come back here in November. I have earned your vote for a second time.
Meanwhile, O'Connor touted his grassroots campaign.
In our fight, we've rejected corporate PAC money because big money, because we know that big money from big corporations is just one part of the problem with our elections.
Trump carried Ohio's 12th district in the 2016 presidential race by 11 points. In Michigan, former state lawmaker Rashida Tlaib has won the Democratic nomination to run unopposed for a House seat, setting her up to become the first Muslim woman elected to Congress. In Kansas, Democrat Laura Kelly advanced to the governor's race in November. She will face the winner of the race between Republican Governor Jeff Collier and Chris Kobach in a race that's too close to call. Rick Gates, the prosecution star witness in Paul Manafort's fraud trial, admitted that he stole money from his former boss to pay for an extramarital affair, lied to special counsel Robert Mueller, and may have submitted false expenses to President Donald Trump's inaugural committee. Gates faces more cross-examination today. It seems Iran and North Korea have forged a stronger bond. Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
North Korea's foreign minister and his Iranian counterpart called for expanded relations between their two countries during a meeting Tuesday in Tehran, the official Islamic Republic news agency reported. The article provided few additional details about their talks, but the pledge for stronger ties highlighted the risks posed by President Donald Trump's pressure campaign on the two countries, including bringing some U.S. rivals closer together. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. And it's 6:09 on Wall Street, your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees beat the White Sox 4-3 in 13 innings on the South Side, thanks to Miguel Andujar coming up clutch.
Swung on and line. There is a base hit left field. Didi rounds third. He will score easily. It's a base hit. And an RBI for Andujar. Ah, the Duke can do.
Yankees radio, Sonny Gray got the win out of the pen, turning in three scoreless innings of relief. Better news is they increased their lead on both Oakland and Seattle in the wild card race. Yankees will play for the sweep as Luis Severino battles Lucas Giolito at 8:10. Outfielder Jacoby Ellsbury will miss the remainder of the season after undergoing surgery to repair a torn labrum in his hip. He's been on the disabled list since the start of the year and is expected to recover in 6 months. Ellsbury still has 2 years remaining on his $153 million deal. The Mets fell 6-1 at home to the Reds. Long Island native Sal Romano allowed a run on two hits in six-plus innings to help break a three-game skid despite the rain delay. Jason Vargas fell to 2-8 after allowing three runs while recording just one out. Series concludes with day baseball at Citi Field. Jacob deGrom hosts Robert Stevenson. First pitch is at 12:10. The PGA Championship, golf's fourth and final major, starts Thursday from St. Louis. Rory McIlroy knows the impact it leaves on one season.
But it's going to be fun. You know, it's nice to play in groups like that, and I guess it focuses you straight away. You know, it's going to be a big atmosphere out there, and I'm looking forward to that.
Bloomberg Radio will be home for PGA play-by-play Thursday and Friday at 4:15. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Buschka. In other news, Lion Tree Advisors is investing in baseball's Ironman. The investment and merchant bank is taking a minority stake in Cal Ripken Jr.'s company. Ripken Baseball will use the investment to expand in investment for kids. And the sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank with strong relationships and customized solutions. They work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Sources telling Bloomberg Starwood Property Trust plans to buy a General Electric energy finance business for about $2.6 billion to expand beyond real estate holdings. European shares, meanwhile, slipping following a mixed session in Asia as earnings misses and concern over global trade kept markets in check. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little change, so are NASDAQ futures and Dow futures. Dow futures up about 5 points. DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. CAC in Paris down about the same. FTSE 100 up 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down about 0.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 8 cents to $69.25 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.50 to $12.1980 an ounce. The euro $1.1595 and the yen 110.97. And more than a dozen companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Republican Troy Balderson holds a slight lead over Democrat Danny O'Connor in a special election for a House seat in Ohio's 12th congressional district, 50.2% to 49.3%. The two candidates will again go head-to-head in November. Missouri Republican Josh Hawley, the state's attorney general, will go up against Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill in November. In Michigan's race for governor, Democrat Gretchen Whitmer will go up against State Attorney General Bill Schuette in the fall. In baseball, the Yankees won and increased their wild card lead. The Mets lost. The Red Sox won. The Nationals split a doubleheader with the Braves. The Orioles, Giants, and A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. And good morning. I'm John Tucker. Elon Musk, CEO and chairman of Tesla, shocked investors yesterday with news that he could take the company private for $420 a share. That would value Tesla at $82 billion and amount to the largest leveraged buyout in history. Joining us with more, Jackie Simmons, Bloomberg News Executive Editor for Global Business. Jackie, thanks for being with us this morning. I've always had a burning question when it comes to Tesla. Where the heck is all this money coming from? And when it comes to an LBO, who would be behind it?
Well, that's the question everyone is asking today, right? There were, unfortunately, no specifics about where the money and funding is coming from. I mean, you need about $66 billion of funding. That key point was very short on details, but the initial tweet did say, you know, it's funded. So that's raised a lot of questions. It's a big number. Let's see what we can get today.
420 a share. Would investors be on board with that?
I mean, I think if you look at the rate at which the stock rose and was then halted, somebody likes that number. However, it's important to note that 420 a share is still markedly below the 374.98 that is trading currently. So there is some skepticism that this could actually get pulled off.
Now, I understand it is a distraction to burn through tons of cash. Would this be a better run company private?
Well, if you hear Elon Musk say it's also a distraction to be listed. He's gone after short sellers. This is kind of the ultimate going after, if you would. You know, he said that it's a distraction, that it's an easier company to run. He's made parallels to SpaceX, which is privately owned, saying that, you know, look at SpaceX. You know, this can work. So is it a better company privately owned? Probably for his purposes, vis-a-vis the short sellers and the media and the naysayers, yes.
Okay, well, what can we learn from SpaceX? I mean, I don't know a thing about it except it launches rockets into outer space. Is that a good model for Tesla?
I mean, I think that, you know, Elon Musk cares as much about space travel and the prospect for space travel as much, if not even more, than he does about cars. And, you know, remember, you know, more than half or a huge chunk of his wealth is invested in, you know, this rocket's potential. But, you know, again, it's private, so there's not a lot of light shed on the financing, how it keeps going. But he says this is a model for how it could look, how it could run. You know, we're not distracted by market speculation, by sort of journalists asking lots of questions. He thinks that it could work.
How pesky. You know, he hates shorts. I guess we could conclude that. So by tweeting out yesterday, boosting the company's market cap, does that invite scrutiny from regulators? How unprecedented is an action like that?
So, you know, this is new territory. I don't know of – I've been covering global business for, you know, years and years. And 20-plus years, I've not actually – I don't think we have something comparable to this, you know, with a specific number and with a strong hint that this is funded. I think the issue is not, like, is the legality of it. I think the fact that he blasted it into the world and, you know, there wasn't sort of privileged information, as it were, doesn't necessarily breach rules, although it's extremely unorthodox and questions are raised. I think the question is, like, he's saying it's funded. Well, we need to know who's funding it. Is that true? These are questions we're going to try and pack, you know, today.
Okay. Let's get to that question. I'll ask you to speculate. Who's got that kind of money? A sovereign wealth fund? Individuals? What?
Right. So as we saw, the interesting sequence of events, you know, I think it was, what, 1248, the tweet went out, but that was preceded by a report that the Sovereign Wealth Fund in Saudi had been building a stake for some period of about as much as $2 billion. They plan to stop at 5%. You know, it's not clear that those two are linked other than the sequence of events. So does Musk want the Saudis in there? Not hearing that. Big question mark. Who could come in and fund it? I think he said that he wants, you know, the investors who want to kind of join forces with them and stick around. You know, he can find a vehicle to make that work.
Okay. And hopefully they wouldn't be a distraction. Tesla shares right now down about 1% in the pre-market. Thanks very much. Jackie Simmons, Bloomberg News Executive Editor for Global Business. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are little changed this morning as trade tensions remain in focus. The U.S. says it'll begin imposing 25% duties on an additional $16 billion of Chinese imports in 2 weeks. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Shanghai.
The latest round of U.S. tariffs will target 279 Chinese product lines, ranging from motorcycles to turbines. China has said it will retaliate with its own round of tariffs on $16 billion of U.S. goods. As yet, there are no plans for official talks between the two sides. Here in China, officials and business leaders appear to be steeling themselves for a long, drawn-out trade battle. In Shanghai, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom, thank you. Meanwhile, China's exports grew faster than expected in July, and imports surged, signaling the trade war has yet to take a toll.
Tesla shares are down 1% in early trading after yesterday's 11% gain. CEO Elon Musk took to Twitter yesterday, saying he could take the electric car company private at an $82 billion valuation. Tigris Financial Chief Investment Officer Ivan Finseth says the move doesn't make sense for Tesla.
It doesn't make sense because he's in a growth stage. He's not in a mature stage. He needs the public markets for financing. I mean, it would be easier to raise financing in both equity and debt for him if he's a public company.
At that $82 billion valuation, it would be the largest leverage buyout in history.
Shares of Walt Disney down 1% in early trading after earnings missed estimates.
And Snap shares are up 2% after sales topped estimates. And Saudi billionaire Prince Alawid bin Talal acquired a 2.3% stake in the company.
And in Europe, shares of Glencore down 1% after reporting first half adjusted EBITDA below estimates.
It is now 6:32 on Wall Street, and that's time for your volatility index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 1093. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX continues to fall. It's now at 1078. That's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning are little changed. S&P futures up less than a point. Dow futures up 11. NASDAQ futures, again, little change. The DAX in Germany also, little change. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil, little changed, up 3 cents to $69.20 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.20 to $12.19.50 an ounce. And the euro, $1.16.01. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898. New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner 5th Avenue and 35th Street. Looking for hints into the midterm elections. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump's candidate is clinging to the lead in a special congressional election for an Ohio House district Republicans have dominated since 1982. With all precincts reporting, Troy Balderson leads Democrat Danny O'Connor 50.2% to 49.3%. Both men will face each other again in the fall. Balderson thanked his biggest supporter, President Trump, who tweeted that he had won.
America is on the right path, and we're going to keep it going that way.
Yeah!
O'Connor, who has not conceded, spoke to his supporters.
We keep fighting through to November. Let's go out there. Let's get it done. Let's change this country.
Former Michigan State lawmaker Rashida Tlaib has won the Democratic nomination to run unopposed for a House seat, setting her up to become the first Muslim woman elected to Congress. Paul Manafort's former business partner Rick Gates will be on the witness stand again today in the fraud trial of the former Trump campaign chief. In court, Gates admitted to hiding millions of dollars in more than a dozen offshore accounts for Manafort. Even before the Manafort tax and bank fraud trial is over, it already has some fallout. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager explains.
The Virginia-based accounting firm Kosciuszko Wicks and Company has fired Manafort's former accountant, Cindy Laporta. That's after she testified that she knew the former Trump campaign chairman's tax returns were falsified, but she went along with the scam because she was afraid Manafort and his right-hand man, Rick Gates, would sue. In a statement, the firm says it was shocked by Laporta's testimony. It's now doing an independent internal review to confirm her activity was isolated to Manafort. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
President Trump said he would make an announcement next week that would bring down prescription drug prices, quote, really, really substantially. Trump spoke to reporters at the beginning of a dinner last night with corporate leaders at his golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey. The death toll has climbed to 131 from the recent earthquake on the Indonesian island of Lombok. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, sir. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushko.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees outlasted the White Sox in 13 innings, 4-3 on the road. Sonny Gray with one of his best pitching performances of the year, turning in three scoreless innings of relief to earn the win. Skipper Aaron Boone.
When you face adversity and tough times in this game, you know, and then get thrown right into the fire in a tough spot and deliver, it's not an easy thing to do, and so just proud of the effort there and proud of him coming in and playing a huge role, obviously.
New York increased their lead on both the A's and Mariners in the wild card. New York plays for the sweep tonight when Lucas Giolito hosts Luis Severino at 8:10. Yankees outfielder Jacoby Ellsbury had surgery to repair a torn labrum. He'll miss the remainder of the season. The 34-year-old has been on the DL all year and has 2 years remaining on that seven-year contract. Mets were shut down 6-1 by the Reds at Citi Field in a rain-delayed game. Jason Vargas recorded just one out, falling to 2-8. They'll have a matinee at 12:10. Jacob deGrom on the mound for New York. Golf's fourth and final major, the PGA Championship, begins Thursday in St. Louis. Tiger Woods after an elusive title.
Just for me to be able to have this opportunity again is a dream come true. You know, I've said this many times this year. I didn't know if I could do this again, and lo and behold, here I am. So just coming back and be able to play at this level and compete. I've had my share of chances to win this year as well. Hopefully I'll get it done this week.
Woods hasn't won a major since 2008. Bloomberg Radio is your home for PGA play-by-play Thursday and Friday beginning at 4:15. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Rob Bushko, thanks very much. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Despite promising to repeal it, Congress has left the Affordable Care Act on the books, and the law is still working pretty well. Its future success, though, can't be taken for granted, because President Trump has been working to undermine it. His administration is enabling the sale of two kinds of low-quality health insurance and making it harder for people to sign up for Obamacare plans. It's also pushing in court to do away with protections for people with pre-existing health conditions. The cheap short-term and association health plans that the administration sanctions will siphon millions of people from the Obamacare marketplaces, raising premiums for those left behind. And now the Justice Department is joining a lawsuit charging that it's unconstitutional to demand coverage for pre-existing conditions. In choosing candidates for state government and for Congress, voters should look for candidates who promise to protect and expand the gains in health care coverage that the ACA has achieved. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. We'll stay on the subject. Health insurance policies that don't meet Obamacare requirements could get federal subsidies under a new rule from the White House. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
These so-called skinny plans are already infuriating Obamacare advocates who say they would attract healthy people away from the exchanges and drive up premiums. Bloomberg Law's Sarah Hansard says this new rule offering subsidies would require states to apply for a waiver.
They have to meet what they call guardrails. They have to provide coverage as comprehensive and affordable as what would be the case without the waiver to a comparable number of people, and it can't increase the federal deficit.
Most of these plans are not as comprehensive and will likely be challenged in court. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. Now 6:39 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. It happens at airports in some of the warmest climes in America. Maybe you've suffered through a stifling cross-country flight this summer. But flight attendant unions say it can happen any time of the year and that it's gotten worse as airlines cut costs on seat space and air cooling. The unions are petitioning the government to establish a temperature range between 65 and 75 degrees Fahrenheit on commercial aircraft. To that end, the Association of Flight Attendants created an app called Too Hot, Too Cold. It launched publicly August 1st. The app allows flight attendants and passengers to report extreme temperatures while on board. To accurately register those temperatures, the unions are also providing attendants with thousands of small thermostats. The unions say it's a safety issue that heat exhaustion adds to fatigue, and lethargic flight attendants can end up taking longer to respond to issues that may arise. That is the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently up a single point. Dow futures adding 13 points. NASDAQ futures barely budging this morning. The 10-year yield at 2.9693%. This is Bloomberg. And coming up, Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank with 48 locations across New Jersey. You're never far from their wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking, mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are little change this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures up 8 points. S&Ps are a little changed, and Nasdaq futures drop a point. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.97%, and Shanghai fell 1.3% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mostly higher this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:45, Fed's Barkin speaks in Virginia. And after the bell last night, Disney missed estimates. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, Michael Kors raised its earning outlook for the year. In deal news, Starwood confirms a deal to buy GE Energy Finance Unit for $2.56 billion. And in other news, Robert Baird said that Tesla to rise above $420 per share as investors demand a higher premium. Wrapping things up, CF Industries was upgraded to buy at HSBC. CyberArk Software upgraded to overweight at JP Morgan. Dentsply was downgraded to equate at Morgan Stanley. And Mallinckrodt downgraded to market reform over at Raymond James. Live from the First to Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And again, as we just heard Bill say, Starwood Properties has agreed to acquire GE Capital's Energy Financial Services Project Finance debt business and loan portfolio for $2.6 billion. That is confirmed, and that includes $400 million of unfunded loan commitments. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says he turned the tide for Republican Troy Balderson in Ohio's special congressional election. Trump tweeted congratulations to Balderson, even though the race officially has not been called. Balderson has a slim lead over Democrat Danny O'Connor in the special election in the state's 12th congressional district, 50.2% to 49.3%. Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley has won the Republican nomination in one of the nation's most hotly contested Senate races. Hawley will face vulnerable Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill in the fall. In baseball, the Yankees won and increased their lead in the wild card race. The Mets lost. The Red Sox won in 10 innings. The Nationals split a doubleheader with the Braves. The Orioles, Giants, and A's lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, here's something for serious workout people.
Yeah, that would be me. Would be if I would just get serious.
Instead of hot yoga, that's you, try cold temperature workouts instead. Burns in Manhattan believes that exercising in low temperatures forces the body to burn additional energy to get back up to 98.6 degrees. Bob Burns' co-founders acquired some brewery fridges and now keep their premises at 55 degrees.
Cool.
Yeah, I like a cold beer when I work out. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. You're clever. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. Now, 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the White House going ahead with tariffs on an additional $16 billion in Chinese goods. A special election in Ohio that is too close to call. And day 7 of Paul Manafort's bank and tax fraud trial gets underway after yesterday's tense testimony from former Manafort deputy Rick Gates. Let's get more on these stories now from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. Welcome. Let's start with all of the special election and primary results today. As we note, some not yet settled. There are a lot. How's it all shaping up?
Yeah, well, it was an interesting evening for sure. I think what we're seeing, you know, a lot of folks closely watched this Ohio special election, which is the last special election before the midterms. So I think a lot of people were looking at that as a potential canary in a coal mine in terms of predicting what the voter sentiment might be in November. That race, by all accounts, should have been Republicans to lose. And it's very narrowly divided, basically remains too close to call at this point. Trump has sort of weighed in and basically congratulated the Republican as the winner. But it's unclear whether the Republican will actually come out victorious in this. And it's a district that Republicans have actually held since 1982, so quite a long time. So it would be certainly an energizing factor for Democrats if they're able to wrest it from Republicans.
Some advances for women among Democrats.
Definitely. So we saw some interesting dynamics playing out in two governor's races in Michigan and Kansas, where in both cases, women candidates defeated male opponents to become the Democratic nominee. And I think beyond just the idea that women are an unusually high number of women have been recruited to run both on the Republican and the Democratic side in races this year, which is interesting following Hillary Clinton's defeat in 2016. It's also worth noting that in both these, in the Michigan race in particular, that kind of the dynamic that played out was one that we saw that was similar to the dynamic between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in 2016, when we saw that basically the sort of far left progressive wing of the party against a woman candidate that had more traditional kind of backing from the center of the party. And in this case, we saw the woman candidate come out victorious.
If only we knew what these results foreshadow in the midterm elections in November, but it sounds to me like at least in that particular race we were watching, things are a little too close.
Yeah, it seems like it's too close to call. But again, I think Democrats are certainly going to be encouraged by the fact that this is a district that they haven't had a shot at in over 30 years. So the fact that it's even too close to call right now, I think for Democrats will be viewed as, you know, a significant gain.
Okay, let's turn to the latest shots fired on trade now. The White House saying it will impose tariffs of 25% on an additional $16 billion of Chinese imports 2 weeks from now. Kathleen, fill us in on the details here.
Yeah, so basically this is just the latest escalation by the U.S. in this, really kind of very much intensifying dispute with China over trade. This is the second time this month that the U.S. has moved forward, will be moving forward with imposing tariffs on China. And basically, it looks like the U.S. is marching ahead with Trump's declaration that, you know, potentially there could be tariffs on all China imports.
Okay, finally, day 6 of the trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort is in the books. Quite an eventful day, quite a dramatic day.
Very dramatic indeed. Rick Gates, the prosecution's star witness, withstood basically 2 hours of pretty withering cross-examination. He struggled a bit during the beginning part and then seemed to kind of regain his footing. But basically, he admitted to, you know, lying and cheating and stealing, but said he's telling the truth now. And essentially, the response from Manafort's lawyers was, why should we believe you, especially when you took a plea deal that's keeping you potentially out of prison when, you know, Gates was facing up to 50 to 100 years in prison. So basically, that was the dynamic that played out yesterday. It looks like the prosecution could be wrapping up their case by the end of the week, and so that's certainly something to watch.
And what's next in this bank and tax fraud trial for Mr. Manafort?
So it'll be interesting to see how the defense, what kind of a case the defense presents. Often the defense waits to see the conclusion of the prosecution's case, and depending on how strong they think the prosecution's case is, they determine how much they need to present, since the burden of proof is on the prosecution. So I think that'll be kind of the dynamic to watch heading into the weekend and next week is what we're seeing from Manafort's team, which will give us an indication of how strong they think the prosecution's case is.
And we will be watching developments. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, Bob, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Online may have changed the retail landscape, but most small business owners say they don't see much competition from the big online retailers. The latest quarterly Wells Fargo Gallup Small Business Index finds 80% of small businesses responding that their company did not compete with large e-commerce companies or retailers. At the same time, some small firms are continuing to increase their digital presence to compete in an increasingly digital marketplace, while only a quarter of business owners say they currently conduct 25% or more of their business online. The number of respondents who expect to conduct at least this much business online in the next 5 years is only about 37%. Additionally, more than half the respondents said they're at least somewhat likely to increase their online and social media marketing efforts over the next year. The Wells Fargo survey also finds small business optimism at the highest level in the survey's 15-year history. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
John, thank you. Watching shares of General Electric in the early trade up about 0.25%. Barry Sternlich, Starwood Property Trust, agreed to buy the General Electric Energy Finance business for $2.6 billion to expand beyond real estate holdings. The acquisition includes a roughly $2.1 billion portfolio of 51 loans backed by assets such as pipelines, power plants, and wind farms, as well as $400 million of unfunded commitments. And that confirms earlier reports by Bloomberg. The project finance debt unit and its 21-person team is part of GE Capital's energy financial services business. We're also getting earnings this morning. We are hearing from CVS Health. It reported a second quarter profit that beat analyst estimates and comp sales in the second quarter of 5.9%. That was also better than analysts were looking for. Taking a look at futures this morning, they are little changed. S&P futures up a point, Dow futures up 10, NASDAQ futures up 1. The DAX in Germany is up 0.33% now. The CAC in Paris up 0.1%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 2.96%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.66%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.